Well, we started UPM in 2009. I think what gave really rise to UPM was two things. The failures of municipality, because the idea came out of these IDP meetings. That there was a feeling that the politicians are taking us for a ride, or the politicians are taking us for granted. They are not accountable. They use the IDPs to preach. It's not a, there's no meaningful conversation other than them talking to us.
Sorry, say that
And
again.
my,
You broke up there. There's no meaningful.
there is no meaningful engagement other than to them, other than them talking to us and managing us, even if you ask questions. They just are managing the session. But also more so around the issue of jobs. People were quite frustrated that there was a lot of nepotism and parties. So the last meeting that we attended was held at Nolu Tando Hall, where this decision was really solidified after that meeting that indeed we should go ahead. This movement must be formed, and quite a number of people. So I was a central because I was speaking to these IDP meetings. So it was not a social movement then, but there was an idea that we've got to form something. And I had left Azapo already at that time. I left Azapo in 2001. So I was busy with soccer. In 2005, I had just formed a soccer team called United Fighters. So we then had a discussion around the names. We had consultation, went to a hall. Then that's how UPM was formed in September of 2009. After this back and forth discussion.
So when you formed UPM, what were your intentions or your objectives or what were you setting out to do?
Well,
I
it
can
was formed locally to be a local structure to challenge issues of corruption, of nepotism, of patronage. Of jobs for pals, jobs for comrades, jobs for relatives, but more so the issues of services. Key issues would be housing and corruption. So those will be the issues, the issue in services, the issue of housing, was and the issue of corruption. People felt, look here, we're really being taken for granted, and services, people would complain that I'm from this area, I've been reporting this, I'm from that area in this ward, we've been reporting this and that. So yeah, so those were the issues.
And if you look back over what it's now 14 years since you started UPM, what are the main, would you say, the main achievements or the main events or the main things that you remember from the last 14 years?
I mean, the issue, it's one, it's profiling the movement. I think we did well in terms of profiling UPM as a movement. So that has been highlighted. If you talk UPM, people will not ask you what is it that you're talking about, what is that? They most definitely know. So that would be one issue. The other issue, which will be the highlight as well, will be when we took the feces, the buckets full of feces to the city hall, and because there is this thing out of sight, out of mind. There was a talk about eradication of bucket system, which was not eradicated. And these are one of the issues that in IDP meetings, people spoke about to say, when are you eradicating completely the bucket system? So we took it to, we had a protest, we took it to City Hall and dumped it there. So
you dump the buckets or you dump the feces themselves on the ground?
Yeah, because we're using, no, we dumped the bucket, we left the bucket there.
Okay.
So immediately, Winnie Mandela, who was in the portfolio of sanitation, visited Grahamstown, and indeed, they were given money to eradicate the bucket system. And we saw a movement there. So we don't have the bucket system in Makanda anymore. So that was a highlight. Also a highlight was seeing, because it was on television, publicized, even on, what's the program, Cutting Edge. So we also saw our comrades in Cape Town taking it to the airport, taking it to the legislature. Something that it started in Makanda, and they saw it in the likes of Ngohla and others, because they saw it in Makanda. So I think that was a highlight, because it moved comrades from other areas to say, we can no longer complain about this, because out of sight, out of mind. So we've got to bring this and to the open discussion for people to know our living conditions. So again, that was a highlight, because it did not end in Makanda. We saw it in Cape Town. We saw it in PE. We saw it in other places in the Eastern Cape. And also a highlight was the taking the Makanda to court. We were not too sure. But as we continue, we were convinced it's a correct move and correct political decision. And the court taking a decision that this municipality must be dissolved. That was a highlight. And after that, again, we saw many communities taking their municipalities to court for Section 139 or Section 135 for different section in the Constitution. So it did not end in Makanda. Another highlight was the formation of the Makanda Citizens Front, contesting elections and winning 5 PR seats.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there are quite a number of movements that are saying, how did you do it that you won 5 PR seats? It's a highlight. But again, a question is, how do you make it a point that, how do we learn from other people's struggles, and to make sure that we don't lose what we have. It doesn't become completely obliterated, that we don't come next year, other local government elections, you won't have MCF. So this was also an highlight. But also a highlight was our participation in the COVID. That we became and what do you call it, doctors without qualifications.
Médecins sans frontières, but médecins sans qualification. Okay, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
In that we encourage people to go and what's the word that people were using, the campaign to get the, what's the word again?
The vaccination.
To get vaccinated. We're organizing kumbis where for elder people, we were visiting homes and making the point that elder people get vaccinated. We also had soup kitchen running that we're able to deliver to different homes of older people. So I mean, they've been high. Yeah, those are some of the highlights.
Okay, no, that's a lot of highlights. Maybe before I ask you some more specific questions, what would you say were the key challenges, the main difficulties, the main hurdles that you had to overcome in these last 14 years?
Well, it's a question of membership and leadership, and because it varies. Today you go to AGM, you elect 13 comrades into the committee. After 2 years, you are left with about five because others are working or have migrated and left the city because of the conditions. After a year, after 2 years, when you are going to another AGM, you'll realize that there are three of you. Others have really lost momentum, or they got really, there's no motivation for them to continue. It's not that they are fighting, but they can attend a meeting and come back home hungry, attend a meeting and become activists on a full-time basis. And when they get home, there's no bread. And so it's quite demoralizing and demotivating. So that has been a huge, huge, huge challenge. And the shortcomings of the UPM was its failure not to take transformative, because if we had had transformative struggles, though we had gardens here and then in terms, but if we had a huge, for an example, a program on livelihoods, then we were going to be able to address that, in that we were going to be able to provide food to our own members. So the issue of leadership changing and all of that has been a huge problem. Yeah. And a huge challenge. Yeah.
No, I can imagine it would be. When you say transformative struggles, what do you mean by that?
Because I just imagine if, for an example, you had a big agroecology village for your members, then it changes everything. Then that it means people are able to put bread and are able to put food on the table. If you are baking your own bread and selling, and people are also able to take home, agrico village, people are taking up able to take home vegetables. So it just changes everything. Though there's no monetary compensation, but in terms of putting something to eat on the table. And also the issue of the issue of politics, because if you have a very constant political education, some of these issues would count, but at least they won't count a lot. There won't be a weak point in any movement.
I mean, I'm just wondering, you were talking about soup kitchens and the other work that you did in helping to make sure that especially older people got vaccinated and so on. How does that work translate into a stronger organization, more people involved in the organization? Because it might not. It might be just you help somebody to go and get vaccinated, they go back home, and you never see them again. So how do you take that kind of initiative and turn it into an organizational gain?
Well, people like to participate. So with all of that, if you do that, because people like to participate, it helps that you are able to, it serves as a recruitment drive as well, that it brings people to the organization. It brings people to the organization, so it does help, and it keeps people busy cooking and doing things. And so I mean, they know that this organization does care for us and is there for us.
Then if we look at, because you are advanced compared to others in having counselors, but I imagine that the life of a counselor in a minority organization is not an easy one. What are the challenges you've faced with having counselors, and what are the things that you feel like you've achieved through that process, if anything?
Well, if there's anything that I think we have achieved, is that we wanted to have a foot and a voice in the council. And so it's something that we have. So I think it's an achievement. And also, I mean, look here, and also the issue of participating. And winning this, it's an achievement. But the big challenge would be, you want to have councillors that are political. So you want to have councillors that are quite politically. So I think to me, that's where the issue is, how do you make sure that your councillors are not councillors, but you've got councillors that are political. So, yeah.
And are you able to set up regular mandating and reporting mechanisms for those councillors, or is that a difficult thing to do?
We are in a process, but for sure, as you're saying yourself, it's a difficult thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do.
Can you explain what are the difficulties you face? Because I think it's a very important point, because you can easily elect councillors, and then they, like ANC councillors and whatever, they go and do their own thing, right, to benefit themselves. So how is it, what is the challenge about establishing that kind of accountability mechanism?
Well, for example, we there will be an attempt that we've got to meet for a council agenda, to look at the council agenda and have a discussion. So I think it's quite important that we look at the council agenda as collective. We formulate our responses and prepare our councillors when they go to the council meeting, so they are quite vocal. So not all of them would attend the session. You would then understand there's some form of resistance to others, and you'd realize to others it's a question of self-confidence. It's not that they are sabotaging you. You'd really understand others prefer that they look at this council agenda with certain organizations. because they want to boost their confidence. So there are those issues. And you would say, okay, on Mondays, let's have a constituents office day.
Let's have what? Sorry, say that again. You broke up.
Let's have constituents day. Constituents day of constituent office day. They come to the office. They give us a report on council. They give us a report on the on portfolio committee meetings that they are part of. There's portfolio on finance. There's portfolio on infrastructure. There's portfolio on LED, local economic development. There's a portfolio on corporate services. So there are quite a number of portfolio. And there are other committees on social development. So you want to look at all that report and deal with each report and prepare them and also prepare your organization. Maybe you think the reason some of them are not attending, they are still struggling, learning the ropes. As far as the lingos that are being used, they're still part of confusion. And we think, I mean, look here, it's over a year or it's over 6 months because we had to bring them later, that they should at least be knowing some of these issues. So yeah, we are there. We just had a meeting, a three-day workshop, where we're dealing with these issues. So we are coming up that 3 day. We are going into another workshop where we'll be calling Kusta Mtsila. He was a councillor for United Front, to come and share the experiences with our comrades, and extend an invitation to also one councillor there. I mean, just to come and share experiences with us, how was it? And how did they gain the momentum? How did they gain the confidence? Those kind of things to share with our councillors. So we are planning that that kind of a workshop now. So we are in that space.
I heard, maybe I'm right or wrong, that there was a contestation over those PR councillors at one point, and there was an attempt by others to take them to another political place. Is that right? Can you tell me what happened there?
Your source is correct. You have a reliable source.
Thanks. Now we need to get to the nitty-gritties of this kind of problem, because this is what comrades can learn from, the real problems.
Now I'm pulling your leg.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we made a mistake there, because when people started joining MCF, I've just explained UPM. So when people started joining MCF with UPM, it's like joining UPM. It's a lot of sacrifices, no incentives. It's sweat and blood. And we were naive to one thing, and that is, like politics in a formal sense, as you'd know it.
Sorry, can you say that again? I lost you. You broke up there.
Politics in a formal sense, as you know it. Politics that comes with corruption, with patronage, with money, with all of that, as you know politics. When you say politics, people associate politics with all of that. So we were naive to that thing, because we haven't been in that space of a formal political terrain. We've been politics in a formal sense, as I'm explaining to you. We've been in activism space, as I've just explained what activism means. So we were naive, and people joined, and all of a sudden they were doing things behind our back. So they were not accountable to MCF, to UF and to MCF. They were accountable to themselves and taking it to another direction. So then we had to go to the process of recalling them. So we then expelled them after expelling them and replaced them. So it's something that we learned that we must never make that mistake anymore again. People must be, the response to that is that your leaders must be trained politically.
Am I right in thinking that councillors get some kind of a salary?
Yes.
And I know that, for example, the EFF says, or at least it says that it says, that part of that salary must go to the organization, not to the individual. Do you do anything like that?
Too much information you're asking.
Look, you're free to answer or not to answer, but I think sometimes these details, especially when it comes to material things.
No, it's okay. I'm pulling your leg.
Okay.
I'm pulling your leg. Well, you've got five PR councillors. And they each contribute 3,000. Now that gives you 15,000. Now you've got an administrator. Hello?
Yeah, I'm with you. You've got an administrator.
You've got an administrator. You give your administrator 3,000 rand. You give your field worker, you've got two administrators, you give 3,000 each. You've got your organizers. You each give 1,000. So that's a total of 6,000. That's a total of 9,000. Am I right?
Yeah, if it's six organizers and one administrator, yeah, it's 9,000.
Then you have your, what do you call it, your internet connection. You give it 1,100 monthly. And where does that put you?
It puts you to 10,100.
Yes.
Out of 15.
You spend 1,000 for refreshments. Or 1,500 at times. That puts you to about 13,000 at times and 12,000 at times. Okay, let's say 13,000. Let's say 13,000. You've got to pay your office 2.8. So yeah, that's it.
So that's how it is spent. No, I'm just wondering because, of course, many of the people who become councillors may have had very little income before they became a councillor. And so to get an income as a councillor becomes a kind of independent motivating force. You know, I want to be a councillor because I can get a salary from that, whereas I don't have a salary at the moment. And that can turn people's heads in the wrong direction sometimes. And I just wondered whether that has been an issue, as it is in the trade union movement, for example, where people protect their material interests at all costs. So I just wondered whether that was an issue that you've been dealing with.
I mean, it is. We, for an example, our thinking was that look here, because of they are councillors, they would prioritize this work. I mean, you've got organizers like us. We are here every day. from Monday to Friday, from 9 until half past 4. Because we prioritize this work. Ne? So you've got two administrators, three organizers, and two organizers. So you've got seven people that work in the office. So these are the people who prioritize this work more than people that are getting paid. More than people that are getting, you understand me? Yeah, they are getting paid, but those that are really getting paid handsomely are not prioritizing. So at some point, we even had to fight that you must come to the office. Otherwise, we will not take your money. Don't only come to the office when you want to give us money, as if, I mean, you create a very bad impression. To say, okay, here's money, that's what you want, thank you very much. It does really create a quite a bad impression. So you want the availability. And at times when there's a fight, because you think, look here, 3,000, it's not enough. They must contribute in their communities. And also the constitution of MSF does spell out what is expected of them as far as their community is concerned. So some of them, instead of really making a financial contribution in their communities, they always say, yeah, but we're paying this amount into the movement. But we encourage them to have programs in their communities. So yes, that tension is there.
If there was an election next week or next month, what would you be saying to the voters about what you have achieved in the council since you were elected?
Well, our councillors, I mean, look here, they are paying attention on the issues of infrastructure. We think they're doing well. They had an oversight visit as MCF councillors to some of the projects. They were able to correct the performance, the report on performance, but also on finances. So they are learning the ropes. There are two issues. They would brag about what they are doing in their communities. They will brag about that. They will brag about what their organization is doing, which is MCF and UPM, outside the municipality. But they will also brag about raising issues despite them being defeated. They'll brag about being able to blow the whistle. It was last year when there was an issue about water that has E. coli. We went with them to test water and we found the water there was E. coli. So, I mean, they blew the whistle.